The Punter's Mate with Mark Braybrook and Chris Nelson for Racing Queensland.
Friday rolls around again. Chris Nelson, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark. How's your week been?
It's been all right, yeah. Week after the grand final, so it's always a little bit, not flat's not the right word, but certainly with no rugby league, and even though there has been some rugby league headlines, there's no footy actual games to talk about once the grand final's done and dusted. So.
And I must say, I watched, as an AFL fan, as you know, I watched the game from start to finish, really enjoyed it. Good game, I thought.
Did you?
Yep.
Yeah. It was hard to call from a caller's perspective because there wasn't much flowing to it.
No.
It was almost like an Origin 1 game where neither team wanted to lose. It was very tense, very exciting and all that sort of stuff. And the atmosphere was great pre-match. I don't think I've ever been to a sporting event, and I've been fortunate enough to have been to a few, where the crowd sang the national anthem with as much gusto as they
That's
did
good to hear.
At Suncorp Stadium. And I think part of it was because there was a realisation amongst those fans there, and all of them would have been Queenslanders because no one else can get in, the fact that they couldn't believe they were watching Souths or Penrith play in the grand final in Brisbane. Some of them, and I spoke to some people, that never thought they'd get to see their team, Penrith and South supporters, play in a grand final. So I think there was that realisation, let's make the most of this. And, yeah, it was terrific. It was terrific.
I mean, the AFL was the same. Melbourne and the Dogs in Perth. Mm. I mean, the people of Perth get to see a grand final, which never would have happened. So
yeah, and the year before in Brisbane.
In Brisbane, of course, yeah.
Who'd Richmond play
Richmond beat Geelong.
Geelong. Mm. Okay, there you go.
Convincingly.
There you go. But they've gone downhill dramatically since
then.
You
can only
win
three grand finals in 4 years.
They've gone down dramatically.
Can't win them every year.
Now, your top three highlights for the week.
Top three highlights from last weekend's racing. Star Tontes is third in the Flight Stakes for Rob Heathcote. I thought was a tremendous effort. She made a stack of ground from the rear. So she's number one. Tony Gollan's three winners at Doomben. Very good. Big Bad Bruce, Tambo's mate. And the other one was Say Higher, of course, owned by former jockey Larry Olsen. Tambo's mate was a good win because Tony ran the horse in the Wheatwood the start prior or the week before, didn't give a lot in the straight, but he worked out that the horse was looking for wet ground, and he looked at the forecast early in the week. He saw that rain was possible. We were racing on a soft seven, soft six by that stage, and there was good money around for Tambo's in the morning. So well done to Tony Gollan on doing that and on the three winners. And the O'Day Hoisted double, Contemptuous and It's All Talk. Contemptuous, a very promising horse. It's All Talk blew everyone out of the quaddie at $26 in the last race, but they continue to train winners and they've got some really good chances tomorrow as well. So they're my three highlights from last weekend.
Well, a couple of things there. One, it didn't blow everyone out of the quaddie because a former mate of our, or still a mate, a former employee of ours here at SEN, he got the quaddie.
Did he?
100%
good
last
on him.
Week. Yeah, Jake got that,
did
I'm
he?
Told, yes, by Brad outside. Not everyone. So you're incorrect there. Not everyone got knocked out.
Most.
Not everyone. And then secondly, this doesn't surprise me at all because you were less than bullish about Incentivize last week. How is that not in your top three highlights for the week? How is Incentivize? And I had to try and tell you that Incentivize would win last Friday.
Well,
I sent you a text after the race saying, ye of little faith.
I said, my words were, I can't separate the two of them.
I could.
And I could tell you on the home turn when Incentivize had been worried, just been hassled the whole way.
Ye of little faith.
I'm thinking, how is this thing going to keep going when Very Elegant's just trotting behind them? Didn't go on.
Have you not learned?
Well, I didn't tip against him. I just said I can't make my mind up.
Well, I could. I did send you a text.
You did send me. Of course you did. Now, had it gone the other way, I wouldn't have heard from you.
True. But I thought that would have been in the top three highlights. But anyway, it wasn't. But a low light may be too strong a word, but certainly a disappointment and pleasing that it's not serious. But Rothfire just didn't look good on Saturday.
No, and he's come up with a slight injury, and he's back in Brisbane now, and he will be set for races during the Winter Carnival. But you're right, it just didn't look right. He was there, but he gave nothing. He was outside the lead, and they did run along, but he just gave nothing in the straight, did he?
Yeah, just a little injury, Rob was saying. So, yeah, he'll be spelled back home and a little bit of sun on the back and hopefully be okay come winter. So fingers crossed there. And the good news is it's not a serious setback in that respect.
No, but look, we need to see him win a race. We don't know what sort of toll that injury took. His first up run was good in Sydney. It looked okay, but, we just don't know with him.
Baloo is in Sydney tomorrow.
Yeah, it goes around in the Spring Champion, which will be good. Baloo was the Toowoomba Guineas winner a couple of weeks ago. and goes around in that race. So, look, obviously it's a tough race, but he deserves a crack at it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Now, we mentioned this with Pat and Sats during the week about the late start at Bow Desert. Now, there's been plenty of reasons for late starts, with the ambulance not being able to be on course and, you know, starting machines not being able to be moved because they've been bogged in wet weather. And there's a plethora of reasons why there's been late starts to races. But this is another one.
This one's typical Queensland, as far as I'm concerned, Mark. A snake. Possible snake bite to the clerk of the course's horse. But it turns out...
Which is a serious issue.
Very serious.
Yeah, the horse could have died.
Yeah, but apparently it wasn't to be. The horse is fine, but that put the races back 10 minutes. As I said, very Queensland. I can tell you, I saw my first snake in the flesh this week, and it was a red belly. Slithering across the, because I was with a couple of blokes and they told me it was a red belly.
Okay.
And I would have no idea. And I just kept as far away as possible and was slithering. And they can pick up some speed, those things.
They can. And this time of year, when we start to get the warmer weather, out they come and all that sort of stuff. I think someone was telling me during the week, because we're talking about that, whereby might have even been Pat talking about one of his relatives, heard some crashing and banging in the kitchen. And went in, and he said a snake the length of this studio was going through the cupboards, the cutlery cupboards. So I'm sure it was Paddy during the week talking about that. Yeah, so,
I've been watching that Sunshine Coast Snake Catchers show, and I think I'm starting to dream of snakes at the moment.
Okay.
Everywhere I go, I'm looking out for them.
Yeah, you've got to keep an eye out for them. So that was the week that was, and the highlight for me, incentivized win down south and being able to send Chris Nelson a text on Saturday afternoon. This is all.
Is that what your life's come to?
Pretty much. This is all for Aquis, Australia's leading stallion facility. On the other side of the break, we're going to speak to a young trainer who's got a big chance tomorrow in the Queensland Cup.
Christopher Zintelis, who's got Sir Gunson going around in the 2400-metre race.
We'll come back after the break on The Punter's Mate. It's 21-9.
The Punter's Mate for Racing Queensland.
Friday morning, Mark Braybrook and Chris Nelson, the punter's mate. A little bit later in the program, I'm going to speak to Paul Dolan because there's been a revamp of Kilcoy.
Yeah, they've made quite a few changes there at Kilcoy, and we can have a chat to Paul Dogsy Dolan himself, who is a committee member at Kilcoy.
Yeah, we're trying to get Christopher Zintelis up on the phone, but we need to go into the other room to be able to do that. So I better, you just keep talking, I'll go and do it.
All right, we're going to chat to Christopher Zintelis, who, of course, trains Sir Gunson. Sir Gunson goes around in the listed Queensland Cup tomorrow over 2,400 metres, and we thought it would be a good idea to chat with Christopher. He's got some terrific background in horse racing. He's only 21 years of age, but he's worked with some of the best going around. He's worked with Team Hawks. He's worked with Godolphin. He's worked, obviously, with James Cummings. He's worked with Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott. So I thought it was a really good reason to talk to him. He's got the roughy of the field, goes around at big odds, but roughies can win these races.
Christopher, good morning.
Morning, how are you?
I'm well, mate. Looking forward to tomorrow, no doubt.
Yeah, it's exciting. Look, I feel like there's a lot of pressure on going into the race, but, you know, the horse, going into the race, we never really had much plan of going to this race. Now, I got the horse as a maiden. He obviously won his maiden, worked through his grades a little bit, but, you know, we thought, you know, that he's happy, he's well, he's working well, he's eating well. We thought, you know what, it just came up at the right time. We put him in and we'll just see how he goes around with the light weight on his back, I guess.
Christopher, he didn't just win his maiden, he brained them.
I suppose you could say that.
Were you expecting that, or that come out of the blue?
No, I was quite confident. You know, he trialled 2 weeks prior to his debut win around Doomben. Ronnie was on his back, and, you know, I just told him to go around nicely on the bit. Don't let him go. And, you know, he led a nice field at Doomben, only over 1,000 metres. You know, you can't really compare that sort of form and that to a, you know, 2,200 metre race, but he did that quite easily, and I thought, you know, the horse was going well. You know, I couldn't fault the horse, so I was quite confident going into that debut win.
Now, he is the outsider in tomorrow's race, but that means absolutely nothing. He'll go forward, I would suggest, with the Navy Cross, and it looks really they're the only two on the map that really look like they're going to go forward. So if Navy Cross wants that lead at all costs, are you happy to take a trail, do you think?
Yeah, of course, I think we will. I don't think, you know, I think we'll just go forward. I don't want to be consuming or asking the horse of anything in the early stages of the race. Just let him roll around and build momentum into the race. And, you know, as we saw with Navy Cross, I don't know what happened 2 starts ago, but to me it seems like it just might not be an Eagle Farm horse. We're just going to run the race as if the horse, if it is in front of us, isn't in front of us. We're not going to be worrying about the lead or that sort of, you know, that sort of thing.
Getting involved in any sort of duels up front. Now, I mentioned at the top of the segment how much experience you've got with some of these major stables, Hawks, Godolphin, Cummings, Waterhouse, Bott. Can you give us a bit about your background? How did it all start for you? When did you start in the industry?
Well, I've been in the industry, the general thoroughbred industry, from probably the age of very young. You know, I learned how to read and write out of the stallion books at the age of, you know, 4 or 5 years old. So I've done breeding work. I've worked on stud farms. I've done some pin hooking of my own. Then going through school, I was obviously during holidays, I'd put myself into, try and get myself into some racing stables when I was younger. I did some school holidays in the John Sadler stable at Caulfield, and obviously just, you know, I got my foot into everything, done sales experience at Inglis when I was in Melbourne, and then obviously finished school and hadn't really done much racing work besides the little bit we did throughout the school holidays. So then I just thought, you know what, I was studying full-time at university, and I actually emailed Wayne Hawks for a job at Flemington, you know, with not much experience, or a bit of experience, but nothing major in racing, and got my foot in there, and then just progressed my way up. You know, I wanted to learn Sydney, do a bit of learning in Sydney, so I went up to Warwick Farm with James Cummings there, with the 2-year-olds, and then, yeah, just progressed through there, I guess.
So it's fair to say, mate, you've got little bits and pieces for some of the best trainers in the country, and trying to work out what works for you.
Yeah, well, that's it. The way I look at it is, you know, I was a little bit like a magpie, you know, you just take things, take what you like from each stable, I guess, and I suppose I'm putting, you know, the little bits and pieces I've learned from these trainers and different methods and skills and just trying to put it all together, and I'm having a bit of success at the moment, but, yeah, just obviously you can only go as good as the horses you've got, I suppose, but I'm just coming up slowly, you know, I've just got 6 in work at the moment, and yeah, we'll just play it. Have a couple more runners coming up in the next couple of weeks, so we'll just see how that all unfolds.
Well, best of luck tomorrow, mate, and for the remainder of the career, and no doubt we'll be talking to you on a regular basis as you settle in and get yourself active. Thanks for your time. Good luck tomorrow.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Christopher Zintelis there, young trainer who's on his way, and big day tomorrow, Queensland Cup day.
Yes, Sir Gunson in the Queensland Cup.
There we go. We better take a break. Other side of the break, we'll come back and we will speak with Scott Cross from Crossbet, and this is the Punter's Mate. Thanks to Aquis, Queensland's largest stallion facility, standing 16 well-credentialed stallions. Visit aquisfarm.com.
The Punter's Mate for Racing Queensland.
Freshen up your punting this spring with Crossbet. Download the Crossbet app today and gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858. A little birdie tells me Scott Cross is in Darwin. Morning, mate. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
Good. I'm trying to work out, are you behind us or in front of us now in Northern Territory?
Half an hour behind. Well, okay. Sorry, an hour and a half behind you.
And hang on. An hour and a half? No, no. Does the Northern Territory have daylight saving or not? No.
No.
No, so you're half an hour.
It's 8:20 here.
There you go, half an hour. So nothing's changed for us because nothing in Queensland. Yeah, there we go.
How confusing is it?
Oh, it's only been a week and we're already...
We haven't even started and we're confused.
I know, we're gibbering it. It's already. So there you go. And you've got an excuse because you've enjoying yourself up in Darwin. Anyway, a big weekend of racing. Let's have a look. Where do we want to start? What about the Caulfield Guineas?
Oh, look, it's no surprise here. Look, the money's coming for two horses, Animo and Notorious, but I think the issue is here is that Animo is, you know, drawn terribly with gate 15, so that's going to be the real tricky one there. The question is going to be is whether the Cummings horse, you know, can overcome the bad draw. Look, since we've had the draws, we actually have had a bit of money coming from Tiger of Malay and Lightsaber, funnily enough. So, look, at $2.70... you know, I'm almost going to lay Animo.
Ooh.
So it's a big call, but I think the gate might trick him up.
I was going to ask you, do you think these two will dominate the market as we get closer to race time? Do you think it'll just be a mad duel between the two of them, Animo and Artorias, but maybe not with Tiger and Malay?
In terms of the money now, it is exactly as you'd imagine. The vast majority of the money is coming for the two of them, and it's pretty evenly paced at the moment.
What about the Toorak?
Look, Toorak seems to be a different case. The money's coming for one horse and one horse only, and that's I'm Thunderstruck. Once again, at $2.50, I don't know whether there's a lot of value there and I'm Thunderstruck. Look, I actually think we have seen some money, funnily enough, coming for Sierra Sue and Elephant. Dice Roll, we've seen some money come for as well. Look, I was really impressed with Sierra Sue's running the Rupert Clark. And, you know, in terms of a roughie, I don't think you could keep it out of the exotics.
Now, the NFL is underway. We've had a month of competition, month of games, and some pretty ripping games as well. I thought we might look at the Chargers, who were great in their win over the Raiders, despite the fact being that the game being delayed because of lightning outside for an indoor game, which was bizarre.
How's that work?
Well, $1 billion it cost to put the roof on a $5 billion stadium, and they were delayed the game.
I was going to say, there's nothing better than a $5 billion SoFi stadium that gets delayed for a rain with a roof on it.
Bizarre. Only in America.
Only in America. Look, and this is going to be one of the great games this round. The Chargers are $1.73 versus the Browns at $2.10. There's not a lot in it. The line's only 2.5. Look, I really think this game's going to come down to the quarterbacks. Look, Baker Mayfield at the Browns has been copping a lot of grief recently, saying that he's the reason that we're holding what possibly could be one of the best defensive lines in the game. Justin Herbert, wow, hasn't he come from strength to strength at the Chargers? I'm going to say that the Chargers cover the line all day at 2.5.
Should be a ripping game. That's early Monday morning our time. You enjoy yourself in Darwin, mate, and we'll chat again next week.
Take care.
Good on you, mate. Scott Cross. Freshen up your punting this spring with Crossbet, Australia's freshest sports betting app. Download the Crossbet app today and gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858. Yeah, Chris, they've got this $5 billion stadium in Los Angeles, which is shared by the Chargers and the Rams. $1 billion of that was the roof alone. Right. Then on Monday, Monday Night Football, Chargers v Raiders, and Raiders used to be in, Los Angeles. Now they're in Las Vegas.
Yep.
The game was delayed because of a lightning storm outside that someone in New York in the bunker said, no, we can't start because it's dangerous, the lightning. So the players were all on the field getting ready to start. They all went back to the locker room. As you can imagine, they weren't particularly happy. So when the players left the field, the TV presenters came out onto the field and did their stand-ups.
So what's the lightning outside got to do with inside?
Well, they're saying because it's not the aprons are sort of open, like the fresh air comes through underneath. So it's like a tarpaulin that comes down. It's a roof. The rain would have to be coming in sideways or the lightning would have to come in sideways.
So in other words, we care about the players, but the actual commentators,
they went out in the field and they're standing there doing their stand-ups looking, through this billion-dollar roof, which is not see-through, but certainly they could see all the lightning and all that sort of stuff. So I think it was about 35-minute delay for that game on Monday night with a billion-dollar roof in a $5 billion stadium. So there you go. All it meant was the Raiders fans who had made the trek from Las Vegas up the road were able to get a couple of more beers under the belt. And it was
enjoy
a 50-50 crowd. Yeah, it was terrific. For those stations leaving us, thanks for your company. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll be back 8:30 next Friday morning. But we'll be back for those that are staying. After the break, we'll have follow, fold or forgive. We'll get an update on Garibaldi. And Paul Dolan will be joining us to talk about Kilcoy. That is the Punter's Mate. And it's all thanks to Aquis, Australia's leading stallion facility, and Queensland Racing. For the latest, racingqueensland.com.au. Get racing, gamble responsibly.
The punt is made for Racing Queensland.
And good morning to those stations just joining us. Great to have your company on this Friday morning. Mark Braybrook and Chris Nelson for the latest Queensland racing news, meetings and form. Visit racingqueensland.com.au. Get racing, gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858. Warwick Cup this weekend. Shane Churley, I will have a tip for the Cup and the Newmarket at Warwick. No truth in the rumour that Wayne Bennett will be presenting the trophy, because that's where Wayne has a farm out near Warwick.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's from out there, yeah. So
well, he might.
Yeah, have you been to Warwick?
No. Oh, I came through Warwick on the way here two and a half years ago.
Yeah.
That's lovely, the last time Warwick. I've been.
Yeah. Beautiful buildings in Warwick. Yeah. So anyway, we'll chat about that. And Paul Dolan will be joining us to talk about Kilcoy. As you do. From Kilcoy, and we'll get your weekend forecast because it's Queensland Cup Day.
It is.
As well at Eagle Farm.
Listed Queensland Cup.
This weekend. Now it's time for Follow, Fold or Forgive. Big Bad Bruce, Steph Thornton,
rode him
to victory last weekend.
He drew gate 11. He'd never led, and he went straight to the front. And once he went straight to the front, I think we all thought, oh, he's going to win this. And he did, and he won it really well. He didn't dawdle in front. He set good sectionals, and he finished off with good sectionals. And that was his first go for Tony Gollan, up to 1350, and he handled it really well. And Steph rated him beautifully in front, so I don't see why he can't win again. He's been up for a little while, but why would you send him out for a break now? He's in winning form. So I think Big Bad Bruce in similar conditions can win again, so yep, he's a definite follow. Bar none for the Tony and Madison Sears stable at Toowoomba. Won at Eagle Farm two starts back and then failed at the same track one start back. This is previous to Saturday, obviously. Pulled up with a few issues there. Had about 5 weeks off, and I thought ran a really nice race there on Saturday. So bar none, we'll probably see next week. I think is well worth following. So bar none, back in winning form, I think, shortly. Another follow. And this one of Casey Fogden's, formerly trained in New South Wales. Tuscan Gaze, having its first start for the stable at the Sunshine Coast last Sunday. This was the race where I think it took 7 or 8 minutes for them to get away. They were running late due to all sort. Everything that could go wrong at the Sunny Coast last Sunday went wrong, particularly in this race. Tuscan Gaze then got cast in the stalls, was backed out, past fit to start, and then just absolutely bolted in by about 4 or 5 lengths. Ran away from them down the straight. Based on that, can win again. So as I'm a positive guy, as you know, Mark, follow, follow, follow.
Follow, follow, follow.
Yep.
Any update on Garibaldi for us or another week where you've done nothing about
Garibaldi? No, I just don't want to hassle Tony Gollan every week to ask him about what, you know, Mark wants to know how Garibaldi's going.
Well, you're the one that's, Garibaldi is in the Hall of Fame because Garibaldi has been follow, fold and forgive.
I tell you
the
what.
First horse to be all three.
Big Bad Bruce is starting to get close now. He might be another one.
This is the Punter's Mate, Mark Braybrook and Chris Nelson on this Friday morning. Thanks to Aquas, Queensland's largest stallion facility. Home to Pierrata, Invader, Brave Smash, Dubious, Spieth and more. How is, visit aquasfarm.com. How is April and Augusta? Have you got an update from Kelly this week?
No. Nothing? Updates. Haven't heard a thing. Obviously, she's still having a rest in the paddock, but I think she still comes out of that best trial at Doomben a couple of weeks ago, so I can't wait to see the horse.
Back on the track.
Well, Merrily, I think, was the horse that won that trial, but has gone amiss, unfortunately, so we won't get a guide just yet.
Today, it's time to talk about one of our great country tracks, Kilcoy. And Paul Dolan, who we all know very well, who's been a guest on the show as well, is a committee member there, and there's a terrific article on the Queensland Racing website, so racingqueensland.com.au, all about Kilcoy and the improvements at the track and what the future holds. And I thought, let's talk to Paul and get an insight into what it's being a committee member, but also seeing a course be revamped and developed in front of your eyes and becoming well, I suppose, the envy of a lot of other clubs. And he's on the line now. Good morning, Paul. How are you, mate?
Yeah, g'day, Chris. G'day, Mark. Good morning to all. I'm well, thanks.
And so tell us a little bit about, for those that might be listening in other parts of the country, and we have stations joining us from right across Australia, give us a little insight into Kilcoy.
Well, Kilcoy is a town of about 1,200 people, situated about 100 k's northwest of Brisbane, in what's called the Somerset region. And they've had a racetrack there since 1883, I think it was. Not the current location, but there's been racing continuously there at Kilcoy over that time. When I was a young fella, not about me, but just to fill you in, when I was a young fella keen to take on some race broadcasting, I wrote to a lot of clubs. There was no email or texts or anything in those days. I'm talking in the early 70s. The secretary of the Kilcoy Race Club kindly wrote back to me and said, "You're welcome to come up and meet our caller, whose name was Barry Green. He was based in Kingaroy. And it's just so happened that Barry needed a deputy, so I started as his sidekick, and then he handed it over to me about a year later, and I'd called pretty continuously there until I retired from full-time racing. So Kilcoy's gone from a dust bowl in those early days when I was there to be now a wonderful showplace.
To now be the Moonee Valley of the North?
Yeah, actually, a lot of people think that I came up with that expression, but it was another caller, Sean McKenna. He was calling a race, filling in for me there one day, and he thought, this is like Moonee Valley in reverse. And he just threw in a one-liner, you know, Moonee Valley of the North, and it stuck. Everybody's liked it. Yeah, it's a small track with an intimate atmosphere, not unlike the great Moonee Valley in Melbourne.
What improvements have happened over the last couple of years, Paul?
Probably over the last 3 or 4 years now. Look, some race clubs struggle to get on with their local council, but such is not the case with Kilcoy, and it's on council land. And improvements to the public facilities, a function centre where you can squeeze 120 people in, but ideally about 80 comfortable, right on the racetrack, halfway up the home straight. The betting ring's been completely revamped and got a real country style with a lot of wooden tyre, etc. And the actual racetrack, well, it's a showplace when you see it come up on Sky Channel. You'll never see a dry race surface at Kilcoy, because at the back of the track is the effluent treatment plant, and the council have to do something with the excess water, so they simply pump it over to the race club, and the club can use up to 300,000 litres every day of water. Wow. To water that track. So it always looks good, you know, and the trainers respond by, you know, the word gets around what a good surface it is for the horses to gallop on. And just over the last few years, Kilcoy has gone from a little fish in the ocean to be a major player on the TAB circuit.
Trying to get in my head 300,000 litres, and the only way I can do that is that my washing machine is 75 litres per wash, and I see that water coming out, and I think, geez, that's a lot of water. So 75 into 330,000 gives me some sort of idea how much water
a
it
lot.
Takes. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's a very prosperous little town, and there's some new estates have sprung up, you know, around the ridges, and they all need water, and it's got to go somewhere. So, yeah, it actually gets tricky, because if you've got rain forecast, you don't want to water the track.
No.
If you've got a race meeting come up. So it's a delicate thing. But, you know, we could have a prolonged drought, and we'd still have 330,000 litres of water every day to water the track. So it's quite sensational. Well, the latest development is installation of a new chute, the 1200 metre start. It's a tight turning track, Kilcoy, we can't deny that, but the 1200 metre start provided only a run of about 100 metres onto a fairly short bend. Recently, the council bought an adjacent block which had been a dairy farm, and they look in the future to maybe turn it into a caravan park or an equestrian centre. In the meantime, they filled up the paddock with enough dirt to create a new 1200 metre starting point, which gives them a really nice long straight run. Longer than Doomben, longer than Eagle Farm, longer than Ipswich, longer than the Sunshine Coast. It's one of the best 1,200 metre starts anywhere. And that has been under construction for quite some time. Mightn't sound like a major project, but it is. And the first usage of the new starting point will be at the next TAB meeting, or the next meeting, which is coming up in a few weeks' time, Friday the 29th of October.
Now,
so you'd assume that the trainers and the jockeys are going to just relish that it's a very fair starting point, the 1,200.
Just reading through this article, Paul, Con Searle, who of course is the chairman there, was it he or yourself that's put down the bottom here that you'd like to see Kilcoy with lights for night racing?
Con said that, yeah. Con said that. He's a very innovative man. He's
that's
been
good.
The chairman of the club for 9 years. And yeah, this might sound pie in the sky, but we do have, what I say, we, Kilcoy, do have a couple of harness meetings a year, trots on the grass, which have got novelty value. They're fully covered by Sky and the TAB. I think it's the only track in Queensland to regularly, or if you call two or three times a year regular, to conduct harness racing on their grass surface. And Con says he'd like to see lights go there for the purpose of night gallops under the lights. And he said we could also run some night trotting. And in that new chute, the new 1,200 metre chute, which is nearly 400 metres long, he said, We could conduct some greyhound races down there as well.
He is innovative.
might sound pie in the sky, but if Con Searle comes up with a plan, don't underestimate it.
No, absolutely not. Now, before I let you go, mates, I have been trying to get Chris Nelson on one Sunday to head to Capalabar, because that is another unique experience, isn't it? Now, with your greyhound hat, can you also try and help me to tell Chris Nelson he doesn't know what he's missing out by not being able to, since he's been here in southeast Queensland, to get in the car and go to Capalabar on a Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, it's a bit like Birdsville. Everybody should experience Capalabar once, Mark.
There you go.
I'll go. It's just a matter of when.
Well,
they race every Sunday. Look, it's compulsory to get a beer from the bar and a pie and then walk over and just be leaning over the fence. You can almost reach out and touch the greyhounds as they go past. Eating the pie, just make sure you don't build a dangle in front of one of the dogs. But so that's Capella. Capella Bar is back to basics, and I'm glad I mean that in a very nice way.
Absolutely. And I think
which
a lot of people... Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people like that... That back to the old times. Same with the footy, standing on the hill with a beer, a beer and a pie and all that sort of stuff. And so I'm trying. I'll get him there one day and
Koi. For you, I'll go. Don't know about Mark, but I'll go for you.
It's one of the reasons why Kilcoy's so popular. You can lean, similar to Capella Bay, you can lean there and almost, well, you can. You can talk to the jockeys as they go past on their way to the start. It's got that intimate atmosphere, you know.
Good stuff, mate. Always good to talk to you. Thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Mark. See
good
you
on mate. Paul Dolan, a committee member of the Kilcoy Race Club. And another thing about these race clubs, these, you know, in inverted commas, country race clubs, they're not that far from Brisbane. As Paul said, 100K northwest of Brisbane. And they're nice drives as well. When you go to Toowoomba, it's an easy drive to get to Toowoomba. Warwick is only 2 hours away from pretty much from Brisbane with, you know, the Warwick Cup tomorrow. Gatton, Gympie, they're not that, and they're nice drives.
Actually went through Gympie last weekend.
Did you?
So yeah. What is it? Dagula Highway that takes you out to Kilcoy.
Yeah.
And I believe they do an unbelievable burger out there.
Yeah.
So I've been told that many times.
Yeah, that's the advantage. And as Paul was saying, you know, the old style, and you feel like you're in the country.
Yeah.
And it's only taking an hour and a half to an hour to get there. So So well done to Kilcoy.
Yeah.
We better take a break here on the Punters, mate. Speaking about country racetracks, Shane Churlier will be talking to us after the break. Normally we chat about Toowoomba, but there's no Toowoomba racing this weekend because everyone's heading to Warwick for the Warwick Cup and the Newmarket. And Shane, hopefully, he'll be feeling a bit better this week. He'll have recovered from the celebrations for Melbourne. And his big tip for race one at Toowoomba last week actually got up. So he'll have a better start to the day. I'm sure he'll be in a better frame of mind. So we'll chat with him after the break on the Punters, mate. It's all thanks to Aquis, Australia's leading stalling facility, and Racing Queensland. For the latest news, meetings, and form, visit racingqueensland.com.au. Get racing. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858. It's 9:15.
The punt is made for Racing Queensland.
9:20 in Queensland. This is thanks to the Toowoomba Turf Club, Clifford Park Racecourse, catering for any sized event or function. cliffordpark.com.au and Aquis, Australia's leading stallion facility. Time to chat with Shane Churlier, who won't be in Toowoomba tomorrow. Are you heading to Warwick for the Cup and the Newmarket, Shane? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Mark. No, I won't be heading down, unfortunately. I've got a big weekend next weekend with the Everest and Caulfield Cup Day event. So I'll stay home and win some brownie points, I think, this weekend.
Now, I said to Chris that you'd be in a better frame of mind because Dynamic Duo got you off to a good start last week at Toowoomba. So has that lifted your spirits?
Yeah, look, it was short but sweet. So... yeah, good to get back in the winner's list. And there's a couple there at Warwick that I'm really keen on as well. So we'll go in there full of confidence this week.
Right. Before we get those tips, how many times have you watched the grand final since last Friday?
Look, I've got to be honest. This is not a word of a lie either for radio. I actually had the replay on this morning while I was doing the form for Warwick.
Why am I not surprised?
Just in the background there.
You got all summer to enjoy it.
Why am I not surprised? After 57 years you're entitled to, I would imagine. Now, tomorrow, racing around. Of course, the Warwick Cup's not the only cup we've got tomorrow. We've got Bowen, Cunnamulla and Emerald as well. But we'll focus on Warwick here because we've got the Cup and the Newmarket tomorrow. You got a couple of specials for us?
I have. And the first one, I think Chris may have this horse in his black book as well. This could be the living certainty of the day. Race 7, number 1, Go Wanji.
That's it. That's what I was going to ask you about.
geez, it was a big run at Eagle Farm last time. Now, look, I know at Warwick it has got 62 kilos and gate 13. So if there's anyone out there listening that prices these markets for the bookmakers, this should be $6 based on the weight and the barrier. look, it doesn't matter where it sits in run. It can be wide with cover. It's got a bit of class about it, and this looks like a tap-in back to 55 grade at Warwick for sure. So it's the best on the card.
Race 7, number 1. What else do you like?
Well, for sentimental value, I probably need to be mentioning race 8, number 5, Factory Warrior.
I was going to ask you about that. Your horse is in the cup.
Yeah, it's hard to tip. Sort of anticipating it to be a nice firm surface out at Warwick with the weather that we've had. I just don't know whether he might just appreciate like a little bit softer ground. Wasn't a bad run at Toowoomba, and like I know it was benchmark 80 grade at Toowoomba, but this doesn't look, you know, a lot harder. I'll give it a pretty good chance. So if it runs up to that last run, and or even if you go back to that sort of those rocky cut run sort of thing, it'd have to be a chance for sure. I might throw one in it that I think will be big odds and worth having a look at, is race 2, number 11, Ironstone Gal. I actually caught this horse at the Toowoomba jump outs a little while back, and it sort of, sort of went out to Surratt and Gympie and Taroom in a couple of non-tab races. But this is a pretty even bunch of maideners, and this one, you know, it might sort of sneak under the radar a little bit and come up huge odds. And looks like there's a few that go forward in this race, and this horse might be a little bit of a sneaky chance, I think, at an each way price.
But your best of the day, race 7, number 1, Go Wonji. And yeah, Chris had that circled and was going to ask you your thoughts on that. So yeah,
glad you agree. That was an enormous run at Eagle Farm when it ran third.
Yeah, it sure was. I think I actually read somewhere on social media, Chris, you might have mentioned that horse is one to follow as well. So
yes,
I was sort of keen to see if you remembered. But yeah, certainly. You think back to 55, benchmark 55 at Warwick, coming off that run at Eagle Farm in Class 3. Great. It's it should be just be winning.
Well,
be winning.
I'll let you get back to watching the grand final again. And we will chat, or I'll chat with you tomorrow morning on the Darling Download, where we'll have an in-depth look at tomorrow's Warwick Cup meeting. And we'll also chat with a mate of yours, Chris, who's the face of Warwick, I'm told.
Gibbo. Yeah. I didn't know he was the face of Warwick, but...
Well, that's what Shane says. I
suppose he's got to be the face of somewhere.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll chat with him. And we'll also chat Incentivise tomorrow, because that was a terrific win last week. Good on you, mate. We'll chat tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Look forward to it.
Shane Churlio there. Thanks to Toowoomba Turf Club, Clifford Park Racecourse, catering for any size event or function, cliffordpark.com.au, and Aquis, Queensland's largest stallion facility, home to Pierrata, Invader, Brave Smash, Dubious, Speeth, and more. Visit aquisfarm.com. Weekend forecast, Chris Nelson.
All righty. We'll start tonight at the Sunshine Coast.
You got one for tonight?
Got three.
Three for tonight.
Race 2, number 4, Keefe. David Van Dyke and Mark Duplessis. Last start second in the Toowoomba Guineas was a good run. That was 1,600. Goes to 1,800 metres. I don't see that being a problem because he's by All Too Hard and the breed obviously get out over further. So 1,800, no issue. First up ran third behind Star Tonte. So there's some pretty good form lines there for Keefe. So race 2, number 4. Probably won't be any flash odds, but good one for your multi, Mark.
Okay.
Race 5, number 4, Vaporising, Tony Gollan and Ryan Maloney. I like the fact this horse has been freshened up and drops back to 1,000 metres. I think that's the right trip. 1,200 was too far last time, yet he only ran third. It wasn't a bad effort at all, but he's well placed tonight. Race 5, number 4. Race 6, number 11, the Stiffmeister resumes. We haven't seen him for a little while. He's only had the 4 starts. Now, at the beginning of his career, his first 2 starts were good. Clocked in second on debut and then was a winner second time around, both at Eagle Farm. Then he was thrown in the deep end, went into a couple of races over the Winter Carnival that were a little bit too strong for him, and he didn't quite measure up. He's had a couple of trials leading in here. Both trials have been good. He's drawn gate number 1. Leah Kilner will take a kilo and a half off. So he's down on 55. He's the lowest weight in the race. I think he can return a winner. There's just one rival there that might be hard to beat. Number 7, TikTok Boom for David Van Dyke. No trials leading in. We haven't seen him for some time. So just watch the market, TikTok Boom. If he's heavily backed, he's probably the way to go. If there's no real money around for him, then I think the Stiffmeister will win that race. But they might be a good Quinella exacta as well.
Sunny Coast tonight. What have you got tomorrow? Because tomorrow we're at Eagle Farm and at Aquis Gold Coast. Do you have one for there as well?
No, nothing for the Gold Coast, okay. But I've got 3 for Eagle Farm. Now, we see some 2-year-olds go around tomorrow, races 2 and 3. Most haven't had a start. Now, through the trials, I like the look of this number 3 in race 2, Palazzo Spirit for Steve O'Day and Matty Hoisted. Bailey Notif will take the ride. 2 trials, placed first time around, but then really... improved nicely into that second trial, one at Doomben and one convincingly, very convincingly, and beat last week's winner, Heroic Sun, in the trial. Heroic Sun won at Doomben last Saturday. So a lot to like about race 2, number 3, Palazzo Spirit. Race 5, number 7, Aswart for Rob Heathcote, Taylor Marshall. I have tipped this mare before, and she's been pretty good to me. I thought her third at the Gold Coast last start was quite good. She just got too far back, but she made some good ground in the straight, more ground than any other runner in the race. Now, gate four, she's won at Eagle Farm. She does look very well placed tomorrow. Race five, number seven, Aswart. Now, this one in the last, this mare, she's been good to me, and she's been bad to me. I don't know what we're going to get tomorrow, but gee, on paper, she should run really well. That's race nine, number six, She's Our Boss for Toby and Trent Edmonds on the Gold Coast. She ran some nice races at the beginning of her last prep in stronger company. She gets the claim here for Jaden Lloyd, so down to 55 kilos. She really does look well placed here. She's around double figures. She'll get back, but she's got a good record at Eagle Farm, and her trials leading in have all been quite good. I like the way she finished off last time under very little pressure. So race nine, number six, each way in the last if we're trying to get out. But hopefully we're that far in front by that stage, Mark. It doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, Steph's Best I've forgotten, but she's got a couple there tomorrow that she's keen on. I should have had a look because I've been on Boris Watch here. Boris has got Fast Thinker in the last at Aquas Gold Coast tomorrow. If you're on Boris Watch, which Heels is always on Boris Watch. But Steph's keen on a couple there tomorrow.
Steph doesn't have too many rides. She's got In Gear in the last, right, which would be hard to beat. It is $2.40 odd favourite.
Yep.
And so, she's got Pull Anchor in the first race. Look, she's a mare that could blow them away. She's one of those sort of horses.
I think it was those two, first and last. Yeah, yeah. It's hard to remember because she's got rides every day.
And there's so many Thorntons going around at the moment.
I know.
Mark.
So Boris Watch on the Gold Coast for Heels. Fast Thinker for Les Kelly. Race 8, number 2. I have no idea whether it's any chance at all, but that's the only ride Boris has got on the Gold Coast. And it's late in the day. Normally he's better early in the day, according to Heels.
He gets tired, does he?
I don't know, but Heels likes him early in the day and wants Steph to get a winner before him. Anyway, it gets a little bit complicated.
Yes,
it gets a little bit complicated. Good on you, mate. Have a good weekend.
You too,
You'll
Mark.
Be back tomorrow next week for the punters, mate, for another edition. Have yourselves a great weekend. Heels is back for those listening through SEN in Queensland on Monday. Breakfast with Pat and Heels. Tomorrow morning, the Darling Down Low. Look forward to company then. But have yourselves a great weekend. That is it for the punters, mate. Thanks to Aquas, Australia's leading stallion facility.